beyond those in our solar system haven't yet been proven to exist. Our program is Stardate. Our writer and our producer is Deborah Bird. Stardate is a production of the McDonald Observatory at the University of Texas at Austin, zip 78712. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
Changed. The new number is 2. Please make a note of it.
Please repeat.
The number you have reached has been changed. The new number has been disconnected.
Ring damage.
Möchten Sie etwas zu trinken haben?
Return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
Good evening, Vice President Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Howe.
Welches sind die Regenbogenfarben?
Change. You need to change.
In 3 seconds, you will be disconnected.
Mein Bruder ist jünger als ich.
And a very good evening to you. It's 8 minutes after 10 o'clock. This is Eric Worley, here with Walter in the corner. And this is Brain Damage on your radio, in case you hadn't heard. Our telephone number, and this is a call-in show, that's why we give the telephone number out, it's 632-6901, area code 516, 632-6901. This is our second program in a series of Infinity, and last week we did not have very many calls because we were talking so much. We just talked to ourselves here in the studio, and we kind of hope you were entertained by that, but there's always a chance that you weren't. So this week we are going to devote much more time to the listeners and have them call us and speak to other listeners and just have a grand old time. 632-6901, area code 516. And while you're all rushing to your phones and getting ready to call us, let's talk about what's going on outdoors and how amazing it really is. Winter has finally arrived in New York, and I've been waiting for this. I've been waiting for not just 1 year, but at least a couple of years for this kind of weather to finally arrive at a decent time. Now, it's only January 8th, I believe, is the date. No, is it January 9th? Yes, it's January 9th, I'm sorry. And we have snow on the ground, lots of it. We have ice, we have slippery conditions, we have bitter, horrible cold. But that, my friends, is what winter is all about. And if we want warm weather, we go down to Florida, we go to Brazil or something like that. But if we want cold, we stay in the northern hemisphere, which is where we are. And that just, it makes me extremely happy to see all this snow on the ground. And I just would like, whoever is responsible, I would like to extend my vote of confidence, my thanks. When there's snow on the ground and falling in the sky, something changes. Something changes in the air. It's like it's peaceful, it's tranquil, it's all that stuff. And being in New York City all day yesterday, I was able to see a complete change in the way the city operates. Usually it's noisy and people are angry and honking, but when there's snow on the ground, there's a lot less people for one thing, and things move a heck of a lot slower. And it's something that I think we should all see. New York City covered with snow. And of course, I don't know if you saw the editorial in yesterday's New York Times, but they kind of reiterated the same thing. All about how people act in the winter, in the cold weather. Quoting here, "When the wind howls and the Hudson freezes and the clouds hang heavy in the sky, a funny thing happens to New York. It turns into Fat City. Elsewhere in the United States, if not in the world, people know how to dress for the cold without doubling their size, but not in New York. In New York, the custom is to put on everything in the closet, enclose it in an enormous coat, and wrap it in the lower half of one's face in a scarf the length of Interstate 80. New York Times editorial here. Thus accoutered, a single New Yorker takes up a subway seat and a half, a bus seat and a half, two-thirds of the back seat of a taxi, all of a banquet for two. In a restaurant where the tables are too close together, chairs topple in his wake, and I saw that too. New Yorkers get on elevators in which there is no room for them. They find themselves stuck in narrow aisles, knock down store displays, nudge other people off the curb and into the gutter. And they don't do this because they're rude, pushy New Yorkers, which they can be sometimes, but mostly because they don't understand that they are taking up more space now than they did just a few days ago. New Yorkers waddle rather than walk. They get into their cars gracelessly, and they shut car doors in their coat hems. And if they're women, they often catch the heels of their shoes in their coat linings when getting on a bus. Yes, the Big Apple is said to be the fashion capital of the world, and most of the year it probably is. But in this first week of 1988, you couldn't prove it by the scene on the sidewalks of New York. And the same goes for out here on Long Island. Of course, we don't have subways or things like that, but things are moving slowly and clumsily as we try to bear with this incredible weather that has hit us. I heard people commenting today, it reminds me of Vermont. All this snow on the ground, all this coldness, this wind, temperatures of 5 degrees. I think it's incredible. And one thing that I notice being in New York is, to kind of reflect on that editorial, the way people dress is completely different than any other time of the year because there is so much variety. Now, there's always a lot of variety in New York to start with. But everybody has a different idea of how to stay warm in the cold. You see people wearing these amazing Russian hats or Chinese hats, which I want to get, by the way. I'm trying to find a place that sells the things, but I can't find them. You see people, looks like they're wearing blankets, and you see these shapes coming at you, too, that you assume are people, but you can't see any features. You just see this this big mass of fur. I think a grizzly bear could get loose in New York and not be noticed with all of the strange goings-on there. So that's probably why it's my favorite time of the season, to be in a city like New York and to see all the diversity, all the different ways people handle the cold. And currently, we have -2 degrees, which is rather warm. Of course, that's Celsius, and that's 28 on the Fahrenheit scale. Winter is here. Let us rejoice in its coming. And I was about to go to the phones, but I see we have no phone calls. Now, there could be many reasons for this. Our phones could be broken again. Or I could have lulled everyone gently to sleep with this talk of how nice winter is. Well, our number once again, in case it didn't get through the first time, 632-6901, area code 516. We have quite a few things planned today, among which dogs will play a part. I'd also like to get to many other issues in the news and things going on around here. A lot of funny things happening. And of course, coming up at 12, we have the brothers with their unique radio program. Nothing but unique radio programs we have on the air here on USB. The phones must be broken. I mean, we can always get calls when we ask for calls. I mean, you just have to say, call up, and the phones ring. But they're not. Okay, I'll go on to another issue. Don't like that? Too nice and jolly? Fine. We'll go on to something a bit more serious, which we touched upon last week a little bit. There was a march in Bensonhurst on Saturday, January 2nd. That was 1 week ago today. Shouting freedom or death, more than 400 protesters marched against racism in Bensonhurst on that day as white residents, their faces twisted with anger, lined the route, chanting racial epithets. That's right, 1988. The march, led by the Reverends Al Sharpton and Herbert Daughtry, and lawyers C. Vernon Mason and Alton Maddox, was a demonstration against the Christmas night beating of two blacks, Sylvester and Stephen Lamont, by a group of white youths. A sea of more than 400 police officers on foot, horseback, and motorcycles converged on Bath Avenue and struggled to keep the fist-waving white hecklers away from the protesters, most of whom were black. A police helicopter buzzed overhead, and officers watched from rooftops. At one point, officers had to chase white youths who shouted, "Fight, fight," and ran after the marchers. Oh, those kids today, right? Yeah, police said there were no incidents or arrests, but verbal salvos were fired in violent tones. "Bring slavery back! Bring slavery back!" shouted a middle-aged woman who would not give her name. "They're getting away with too damn much," she said. "What about the white people? Who protects us?" Several residents complained that they had been mugged by blacks, but that there were no marches for them. Interesting side note here, if I can just cut away from this article. A lot of people say that black people mug a lot of white people, but I would think black people would also mug a lot of black people, and it just seems kind of... no one marches for them either, you know? And, in fact, the other day I was listening to the news, and there was this... an 89-year-old priest and a 79-year-old woman in the Bronx were both mugged. And it was just kind of interesting to see that it was done by a white woman. No marches for them either. A counter-demonstration gathered at 20th and Bath Avenues where about 40 white youths and adults chanted, "Howard Beach, Howard Beach." They chanted it, waving Italian and Confederate flags. I'd really like to hear what the listeners think about all of this, because this is not something that's happened 20 years ago. This is something that happened 1 week ago, only 50 miles away in Brooklyn. There is racial unrest. It's happening all around us. And it's not just in Howard Beach. It's not just in Brooklyn or New York or anything. It's everywhere. Or am I wrong? Please tell me. I'd like to hear what listeners have to say. We do have a couple of calls. I see them ringing. 632-6901. I just have one more paragraph on this story, then we'll go to those calls. And you don't have to talk about this subject either. So I don't want to scare people into talking about racism if they don't want to. Nothing worse than that. But I think one thing that would help this whole situation is if a bunch of white people, Italian people, whatever, got together and marched for the other side. Same thing for the other side. It's too bad there are sides in this kind of a matter, but wouldn't it be nice to see a whole bunch of black people marching in support of white people, and white people marching in support of black people? But then again, I'm living in fantasy land, I guess. The march ended and began and ended, actually, at Marble Houses, the predominantly black and Hispanic housing project, where Sylvester Lamont, who was 29, and his brother Stephen, 31, they're both actually those... still those ages, they didn't die or anything. They had Christmas dinner before going out to collect bottles and cans along Bath Avenue on the night of the attack. Not far away, marchers were called. Willie Turks, a black transit worker, was beaten to death 5 years ago by a white mob. That, if you recall, occurred on Avenue X. 20 minutes after 10 o'clock, now let's go to those phone calls. First, before we go into the phone calls, we have to go into the magic land of delay. So, throw a couple of magic switches here, and we'll be on our way. And we're back in delay. And we always pause for just a moment to make sure that we made it, and we made it okay this time. How pleasant. Now let's go to the calls that are waiting. USB, you are on Brain Damage. Good evening.
Hello. Is this Eric?
This is he.
Well, I heard that you were looking for those hats, those Russian hats.
Yeah.
They're at the Village, in like Antique Boutique. They're there.
Any antique? Well, we can't advertise any specific places, but are you saying an antique boutique? Wait a minute.
See, around that area on Broadway.
Uh-huh.
Go on Broadway and I'm sure you'll find it.
Broadway in New York or Broadway in Port Jefferson?
Uh-huh.
In New York. Okay, well, I'll keep an eye open for those, because I did notice in the city they have incredible ranges. I mean, they look like whole heads of hair.
Some of them, well, hey, man, it's cold. I mean, the chemicals, it gets to their heads, you know?
Some of them rise up about a foot into the air. Some of them go out, and it's... It's something, really. And they look so warm, too.
Yeah. And in New York, nobody thinks twice, you know, when you wear them. You know, you're just, it's fine. I mean, the only place you can really do that is in Russia.
Yeah, that's true. That's because it's always cold there. But they do have them in China as well.
Really?
Yeah.
And
I'm seeing more and more of them in New York. But thanks for the tip, and that's good. It's good to know that I can just ask, and somewhere out there someone will call up with a good answer. I'll look on Broadway next time
in
New York.
And listen, I figure if you want anything else, you know, it, just in life in general, just say it on the air, and maybe people could help you.
Isn't that wonderful that I can just get on the air and just talk into this strange microphone-type thing.
Not too many could do that. It's like you have like a card catalog of all these listeners.
We value our listeners. They really give us information sometimes that we need.
Yeah, I know. Well, you're lucky. I mean...
Where are you calling from?
Where am I coming from?
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Port
Jefferson. Port Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God bless you in Port Jefferson.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
632-6901 is our telephone number. Area code 516. The program is Brain Damage. And very good evening to you. You are on Brain Damage.
Hi.
Hello.
Well, you said that we give you information. What information do you want to know?
Well, anything really. But did you have something in particular you wanted to call up about?
Yeah, let's talk about this cold weather. This cold weather, I don't know if you listeners know or not, but this cold weather rocks.
Why is that?
Because it just does. It's freezing.
But isn't winter supposed to be cold?
Yeah, but, you know, if I had a choice to live in California or Long Island, I'd probably move to... I mean, I love Long Island. It's just too cold here, man. It's really too cold.
But, you know, what I like about New York, only 6 months ago, it was 95 degrees. It was over 100 degrees. And we were all complaining how hot it was and how sticky and miserable we all were. And now, we're still miserable.
I wish I could, you know, move here in, like, the summer... And then leave when it gets cold, because it gets too cold.
Yeah. Now, will you call back in the summertime when it's hot and sticky and say, I really like this weather, and I wish winter would never come?
I'll do that.
We can count on you to do that, because a lot of people I know, and I'm not saying you're like this, but a lot of people say, I like winter when it's summer, and I like summer when it's winter.
I know people like that. That's how my mother is. My mother doesn't like the hot weather, you know. But, you know, I love it. And so does my father, so does my little brother here.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's great compared to this freezing weather. You say, you know, people are dressed up, you know, like big balloons. And, you know, we are. And we shouldn't have to, you know, I like walking around in shorts and T-shirts. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Well, you can still do that in your house.
Yeah, you can walk around naked in your house.
That's up to you. Yeah, you can do that.
You can walk around naked in the radio station. We can, too.
Who told you about that? Oh, well, never mind. Well, thanks for calling. Where are you calling from?
I'm from Comac.
Comac. Well, that's good. God bless you all in Comac.
God bless you in Stony Brook.
I figure if all Roberts can do it, we can do it too.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for calling.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye. 632-6901, that's our telephone number. And we're talking about winter and Howard Beach and all kinds of other fun things that go on. Good evening, you are on Brain Damage. Hello.
Yes, good evening. I'd like to speak with Eric.
This is he.
Yes, I'm listening to your phone, your broadcast on the news and the radio.
Okay, that's good. That's where we are.
Do I get a chance to say something over the air or what?
Go right ahead. You're on the air now.
All right.
You're on 6 second delay, so you may not hear yourself this very moment.
My name is Mr. Steinberg, and I'm from Brooklyn, New York. Eric, I always listen to your show.
Great.
First of all, I'd like to say that the Italian-Americans have been problems to us Americans since their arrival.
Is that so?
They're going to be problems to minority groups. You should send them back to Italy.
Well, now...
Shooting each other in Italy, they think they can come over to America and act like real citizens. I mean, it's ludicrous.
Of what nationality are you, may I ask?
Jewish-American, sir.
Uh-huh. Well, now, I don't think the problem is so much in the ethnicity of the group that is involved in this.
Yes.
Now, do you believe that it's Italian Americans only that are responsible for things like Howard Beach?
I think it's ignorance. I think it's a lack of education. The Italian Americans have been problems since their very arrival.
Well, now how so?
Sir, we forget the fact that they intervened in World War II. They had Mussolini, but we forget that. okay, in those days you had people like Joe DiMaggio's mother standing up and saying, forgive the Italian Americans. It's time they face their problems. I think it's wrong.
Well, now...
Sir, I do know something. My relatives are in Auschwitz, all right? I know something about mobs. And I think it's ridiculous and it's absurd in this day and age, as you said over the radio, that we have people who are idiotic enough to get into mobs and hunt down little black boys and girls. I think we should just deport them back to Italy and the hell with them.
Well, now, obviously we can't take a group of people and send them someplace.
Yes.
You must know that. What is it that... Italians aside, whether it's Italians or any group of people, what is it that causes something like this to happen in the first place? And can you think of a constructive way to bring it to a close?
It's the lack of education, it's the ignorance, it's the fear of other groups. Surely you can't look at all black people and say that they're destructive to society, because they're simply not. You have an educated group, and you also have those who tend to get into crime.
It's true of any group. That's true.
Exactly.
Any group. And there is...
But the way to confront the problem head on is not to get into a mob situation and hunt people down. Because then that brings us back down to an animal level. And we're more intelligent than that. I think it's just ridiculous. I've been in this country for most of my life.
Let me ask you something. Do you think the...
I think they should be sent back to Italy.
Okay. Do you think the black demonstrators... are going too far? There, in a way, you have a mob there too. It's a demonstration.
I think I see nothing wrong with democracy with a demonstration, so long as it's held in an orderly fashion, regardless of the ethnic group. I believe there should be a march through my neighborhood, your neighborhood, or any other neighborhood in this United States of America. That's the beauty of democracy. But there should not be people chanting Howard Beach, because a young man was killed in that effort, in that affair. I think this is ridiculous.
What do you think of people who say that, a black person mugged me, a black person killed a friend of mine, and there's no marches for me? How do you justify that?
Sir, it's unfortunate when any life is taken. I understand that, and I sympathize with those families. But you cannot look at all black people and say, well, they're all wrong. What you do, there's certain avenues to pursue, okay, in order to alleviate that problem. But by chanting Howard Beach, while that will bring the problem to the forefront, it will bring it to the forefront in a negative way. I think that's just, it's ridiculous. If you're going to be, if you're going to criticize, then do it in a constructive manner. That's why we have laws, and that's why we have congressmen to write to. And we have newspaper, we have shows like yours, in which to voice our opinions. Do not get up there and chant Howard Beach and chase little black people down and try to kill them. I just don't understand that.
Well, thank you for your call. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Brooklyn, New York, sir. I've been here for 42 years.
You're calling from Brooklyn?
That's right.
Are you telling me you're getting our signal in Brooklyn?
Yes.
Well, this is a cause for celebration, I must say. Wow, thank you very much for calling then.
All right, I think these people should be sent back to Italy and let them go.
Well, I'm sure we'll get lots of calls on that.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Bye.
That's very interesting, a call from Brooklyn, although the connection sounded very good. Both a good phone connection and a good radio connection. I'm going to look into this a little bit, but interesting. Interesting ideas there, and I'd very much like to hear what our listeners have to say about all that. 632-6901 is our phone number, area code 516. The program is Brain Damage, and we're talking about Howard Beach for one thing, racial problems for another, and the winter weather, of course. All those things rolled up into one. And very good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi, Eric.
Hi.
My name is Peter.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Pretty good.
Where might you be calling from?
I'm calling from Setauket. I just wanted to comment on what that listener from Brooklyn just said, and I think he really contradicted himself, because here he's saying, you know, racism is really bad, you know, and what is the main ingredient of racism? It's ignorance and stereotyping, and he just like stereotypes all Italian Americans.
It sounded to me, and this is my opinion, I think that he may have been trying to give us kind of irony or something like that, and make us sort of go against another ethnic group that supposedly is the cause of prejudice, which of course is ridiculous. I don't know. It seemed you're right. It seemed to kind of contradict itself. And I mean,
you just can't go off and pin something on a certain race and say, well, okay, this is their fault, and this is why we should get them out of here, or whatever. I mean, that's the core of racism. You know, I mean, you can't go around doing that kind of thing.
Perhaps we should try just making all the Italian Americans leave the country for one day.
Well,
that's not asking too much.
Blame it on one person. I mean, the Jews are prejudiced. The Chinese are prejudiced. Whoever, whatever racial group you want to name, everybody is prejudiced in their own way.
If we have a certain group, just leave the country for one day. We send them all off on a boat or something, and just see what happens, and then we'll know. You know. I think it's reasonable.
I mean, it's not something you can solve like that. It's something that you have to solve through education, obviously. I mean, you just can't
say,
you know, let's get rid of them. That's exactly the same philosophy that Adolf Hitler had.
But education is relative. Some people think education is one thing. Other people think, I mean, look at evolution. Look at evolution and creationism. You know, it's a very basic kind of thing, the origin of mankind, but we cannot agree on how to teach it.
Well, that's a different topic, you know, because you don't know which way to lean in that area. But as far as prejudice goes, that's just breeded from ignorance completely. You know, people think that they're superior just because they're a certain color or they're a certain religion. I mean, you just have to dispel that myth. I mean, as far as evolutionism or creationism goes, those are two different philosophies. There is no real philosophy for open-mindedness as far as racial integration goes. You know, I mean, it's just understanding other people and being open-minded, that's all.
Well, of course, there's all kinds of conflict as to whether there really is racial prejudice. Some people say, hey, that's all behind us now. Other people say there's a lot more of it than we think.
Oh, of course there is. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, Howard Beach is just one of many incidents that happens every day, I'm sure.
You know, it's funny.
Where in the world.
It's funny. I was in the 7-Eleven right here in Stony Brook yesterday, and I was... I was buying some piece of garbage that I always get over there. And there was this black gentleman who was buying a six-pack of beer.
Right.
And he was sort of inquiring, maybe a little loudly, about the price. You know, it was something like $3.45. And he said, it's $3.29 in my neighborhood. And all of a sudden, as if they beamed off the Starship Enterprise or something, there were these pickup truck teenagers with their arms folded saying, well, it's $3.35 here. I just wondered, where do they come from?
These people must breed in the back or something.
Are you talking
about the 7-Eleven in Setauket?
The one right here across the street from the university in Stony Brook. I mean, you know,
In that very 7-Eleven, I know two friends of mine were standing there just reading a magazine, okay? Mm-hmm. And both of them were black, and they were reading this magazine, and all of a sudden, some girl comes over to them, one girl who worked there, came over to them and said, are you going to buy the magazines? And they said, you know, we're not really sure yet. We're just looking through them. And she said, well, if you're not going to buy them, you have to leave right now. And, you know, they refused. They thought it was ridiculous. And then she called the cops. You know, I mean, just because they were black. I'm sure, because, you know, I've read magazines there all the time. And they never say anything to me.
Well, now, of course, we don't want to malign the reputation of a local store because...
I'm not saying it's something indicative of the 7-Eleven chain or something like that. I'm just saying this is just a problem that exists, you know? I mean, it's everywhere.
Oh, I agree with you there. And if there's one thing that I agree with the people who live in Howard Beach, who have been on TV complaining and everything, it's one thing they're absolutely right about is their community has been given a very bad name, and it's not correct that only their community should be given this bad name, because what happened in Howard Beach can happen in a lot of places.
Exactly.
Why should we just say it's Howard Beach's problem? We're evading the issue. It could happen in Center Reach. It could happen in Stony Brook.
It can happen in Manhattan. It can happen anywhere.
It sure can, and we have to take the steps to prevent it from happening.
Right.
That seems pretty obvious to me, but then again, you know, some things that seem obvious to some people don't seem obvious to others and seem completely wrong to everyone else, and I'm sure we'll hear a little bit of all that tonight.
Well, it's just a problem that's existed throughout the existence of mankind, you know what I mean?
I want to thank you for calling, and our telephone number is 632-6901, area code 516, and let me just add, if you get through, You'll hear a ringing for quite a bit of time, but you won't have to pay for that ringing because you don't pay until we pick up the phone. So if that's what you're worried about, just stay on the line, and we'll get to you eventually. Everyone who calls will get through. And good evening. You are on Brain Damage.
Hi, my name is Andy. I'm one of your younger listeners.
Oh, great. Well, we'd love to hear from our younger listeners. What town are you calling from?
I'm calling from Commack.
Commack. Great. And what's on your mind tonight?
Huh?
What's on your mind tonight?
The winter weather.
Winter weather. And do you like winter weather?
Some things I like about it, some things I don't, you know.
Well, I imagine you like the fact that there's often no school.
Yeah.
Okay. What don't you like about it?
I don't like it because there's like 1.5 feet of snow and we have to shovel the driveway.
Well, that can be a pain, yes.
And it's hard for the cars and stuff.
Uh-huh.
By the driveway, you know.
Would you prefer living here or living someplace that's warm all the time?
Probably someplace that's warm.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, well, that's a interesting approach. That's, I guess, 2 votes for warm weather and none, only mine for cold. Okay, well, thank you very much for calling then.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Perhaps, I don't know if obviously not everyone knows this, but I went up to a place called Baffin Island last spring where it's cold just about all the time. It's where the Eskimos are up in Canada, and what a place that is. I fell in love with the climate, with the people, and that's probably one of the reasons why I like cold weather so much. 632-6901, area code 516 is our phone number. And a very good evening. You are on Brain Damage.
Hi. Just have to get my earphone off here. I'm one of your older listeners.
Oh, great. We're getting a wide range tonight, aren't we?
Yeah, and I'm calling from Ridgefield, Connecticut, too.
Okay.
Just thought you might be interested in the range here.
One of our Connecticut... Is that a northern town or a southern town?
Oh, it's probably closer to the coast than... Danbury. It's between Danbury and Norwalk.
Uh-huh. How is, before you talk about what you want to talk about, how is the weather up there? Did you get a lot of snow, too?
Yeah, we did. We have about 8 or 10 inches on the ground, and it's nice and chilly, around 14 or 15 out there right now.
Uh-huh.
It's been a real nice winter occasion, I think.
Yeah, I believe that's right. Now, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, it occurred to me that... the prejudice against snow and cold is similar to some extent to the racial thing, I think.
Well, that's very interesting. I mean, I hadn't planned on that kind of a parallel, but if you see a parallel like that, tell me about it. I'd like to know this.
Yeah, well, it occurred to me, having just got back from Colorado visiting my daughter, that if you go to places that feature a big winter, very deep cold and a lot of snow... You find that people have accommodated it. They've learned how to dress, how to act, how to do things that sort of harmonize with the situation. And having been to Europe and traveled a little bit, I find that the people that go out and see other cultures tend to be less parochial, less likely to build up prejudice, and Mr. Steinberg's word was vitally destructive. I think that's true no matter what you do. If you increase your perspective, you broaden your perspective by traveling, experiencing other things, other cultures, other weather systems, you tend to be less critical of them because you're more, I shouldn't say more, but less likely to take narrow views and defend them, get defensive about them.
I see.
Does that make any sense at all?
I know, in a way it does, I guess.
Well, people that bundle up and look like various colored mushrooms and so forth on the sidewalks really don't know how to dress for the cold.
Well, yeah, that is quite true.
You go to Denver or Steamboat Springs, where I happen to go, you don't see people dressed like that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see inflated-looking people. They look comfortable in the cold.
Yeah, well, like I just said now, up in a place like Baffin Island, people know how to dress for the cold because it's cold just about all the time. And in fact, they don't think of it as an inconvenience. They learn to live with it. It snows 10 inches. They go about their business. They don't think, you know, it's a hardship. It's an inconvenience. It's a way of getting out of school. It's a part of life for them. It's sort of like oxygen almost.
Yeah, and I dare say they're probably in smaller groups like the Baffin Islands probably are. I don't know what the size of the town you were in, but in small towns, people tend to be more curious and therefore outgoing. In large towns, like if we're going to talk about the Brooklyn situation, people are highly compressed and they are less tolerant. They're less curious, less accommodating to outsiders.
On the outside, I would say yes, but there's still a whole world of things underneath that surface image.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're able to break through the surface image of people in Brooklyn, people in New York, you'll find the same openness, curiosity that exists in people that are nowhere near a big city. It's a little bit harder to get through that crust. But
well, I would agree with that, yeah. But when you're talking about knots of people like those kids with the pickup truck, I don't know. I hate to even stereotype that, but
yeah. Well, let me just say there wasn't a pickup truck involved. You just saw like they had a pickup truck sort of emblazoned on their faces. You can tell that pickup trucks played a very big part in their lives.
Well, those are people that have shut down.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they aren't welcoming. They aren't searching. They probably have no inclination to travel and experience other cultures and things. And it's unfortunate, and it happens in every culture.
Yeah.
Nationality, every religion, I think, there's some sort of shutting down that happens to their detriment. And if I were king of the world, I'd buy everybody a ticket and say, get out of town for a year and come back, and you'd know a whole lot more, and you'd tend to be a lot less hostile in your environment.
But we're certainly not here to just live our own lives in the way that our forefathers lived and the fathers before them. We're here to see as much different as possible, as many different ways of life, as many different languages and ways of handling certain situations.
And I would say there's a purpose to all that, and that is to get some sort of guidance as you go through your life and to be able to impart that guidance to your children or the children that surround you as you grow older. And that's what it's all about, I think. Experience derives from experience, you derive a guidance. And from guidance, we can prosper as a culture, as a race.
Well, some good thoughts there from, was it Ridgefield, Connecticut?
Oh, mm-hmm.
Okay, well, thanks very much for calling, sir.
By the way, I like the music you started out with. That's what sort of hooked me. I like prospective kinds of music, too.
Are you referring to the introduction to the program?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's our own special, unique introduction.
I was a very big fan of Fire Sign Theater and the Zappa stories and things like that.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what sort of hooked me when I tuned across your station.
Uh-huh.
Nice chatting with you.
Okay, thanks for calling.
3-0.
Bye-bye. 632-6901 is our telephone number, area code 516. Let me just point out now that I have nothing at all against people who drive pickup trucks, and I would not like to see a whole fleet of pickup trucks waiting for me as I leave tonight. Lots of nice people drive pickup trucks. It's just kind of an image. And if you believe that image is mistaken, by all means, I'm not saying I take one side over another, unless the other side is a really horrible side that wants to kill and maim and that kind of thing. I usually don't take that kind of a side. But as far as pickup truck drivers in general and people who drive vans and things like that, No problem with them. 10:46 on a Saturday night, 14 minutes until 11 o'clock, and we have -1 degree Celsius. That comes out to be 30 on the Fahrenheit scale, and you're listening to Brain Damage. We're on the air until 12 o'clock. At 12 o'clock, the brothers come in, and Brother Bill
yes.
is...
Well, he's at the Nick game right now. It's
standing
the
right here. Is Brother Nick going to be in tonight?
Yes, well, he's at the Nick game right now. At the
actually, let me just stop right there, because what the folks just heard now was something extremely confusing. They heard you answering my questions 6 seconds before I ask them, because I put you in the wrong channel. So what I'm going to do is just ask you those questions all over again, and hopefully we can just forget this horrible thing happened in the first place. Now, will Brother Nick be in tonight?
Actually, you see, I have deja vu, and I sensed that you were going to ask the question, so I answered it before you asked it.
Can you say deja vu?
Yes.
Can you say deja vu?
Deja vu.
That's right.
It's beautiful. I think he'll be here. He's at the Nick game right now at the wonderful Madison Square Garden.
Is that a fact?
Yeah.
Well, now, how is he going to get back in time for a 12 o'clock show?
Well, he says that Nick Games, his brother Nick, is the sports genius, and he, from what he says, Nick Games end pretty early. But he won't be here for the beginning, but he will definitely be here for the end, or the middle, or somewhere in between.
Well, isn't that nice? That's
That's
good that he'll be taking a train or driving.
No, he's driving with the other sports section buddies.
The whole sports section goes to games together.
Couple
isn't
of guys,
nice?
Yeah.
How about that? You know, I took an interesting train ride yesterday out of the city, the old 1201. A lot of fun things happened on that train, because that's the train where all the concert people...
Yes.
Weird, funny, strange things happened on the train. And on this particular train, it was snowing, of course. There was lots of snow on the ground. And we pulled into Jamaica Station, which is one of the hubs, one of the many hubs of the metropolitan area train system. And we left Jamaica, and we were heading towards Long Island, which is what lies beyond. And we came to a stop, and sat there for about maybe 5 minutes, and then we started moving again. But what I noticed was, and what no one else really seemed to notice, was that we were moving in the other direction. We were moving back to Jamaica. Ever so slowly, we were starting to go back the other way. And I said, oh, that's interesting. We don't usually do that. And this woman who was sitting a couple of seats in front of me sat up with a start and said, started looking around, looking to see if anybody else was noticing that we were going the wrong way, which on a train is a serious thing. If you go the wrong way on a train, you have the feeling something is wrong, because there's only one driver, and it's, you know, it's a pretty long vehicle, so obviously the driver can't run all the way back to the back, and he has to have some rearview mirror to be able to just back up like that. No one else was noticing except me, and of course, you know, I tried to reassure her. I said, well, they probably just forgot something. They're going back to get it. Mind you, this was a good 2 miles back, but we did pull all the way back into Jamaica, and we sat there for a moment, maybe a couple of more minutes, and then we started off again, and we went over to what I would say would be the exact same spot where we stopped the first time. We stopped again, just sat there for about 2 more minutes, and then what do you think happened?
You went back.
We went back again. We went back a second time. And this time we pulled all the way into Jamaica, and we stopped at the platform. And the gentleman sitting behind me woke up at that point, and he looked out the window, and he saw us back in Jamaica, and he said, what's going on? He really thought he was in a Twilight Zone episode. He had no idea why he was going back to the same station on a train. You're not supposed to do that. How do you... There's no loop. You know, you have to get off the train at a certain point, and it stops, and it doesn't turn around and come back. So he was really kind of worried, and he didn't know if he was losing his sanity or what. So I tried to reassure him, too. Everyone else in the car seemed to be completely zapped out, though, and no one else really noticed. Then we started off a third time, and this time we seemed to make it. We went zipping right by that spot, and what really gets me, though, is the fact that no one ever on the train explained what was going on. All these people were just kind of wondering why are we going back and forth like a ping pong ball, and no one really understood it.
How much of a delay did you experience in time?
Well, you see, I didn't have a watch, so I had no idea what time it was, but it seemed like I was significantly later based on everything. I mean, I imagine it had something to do with the snow. And also, one thing that the woman in front of me noticed, and I noticed too, but I knew what it meant, but she was very concerned with, was the fact that all the tracks seemed to be on fire. There were these raging fires on all of the tracks. And, of course, what they do is they put these little kerosene fires underneath the switches so that the switches don't freeze up in the cold and not work. So you go over tracks, and they do appear to be on fire. But to be going the wrong way and to see the tracks on fire like that and the snow coming down, it's just it might have been a little too much for some people to handle. And I just think an announcement by the train people saying, don't worry, we're okay, you know, it sure would have helped.
So the next thing he screamed was Hicksville, right?
Hicksville. You know what they do? They stopped at a place called Hillside now.
Really?
And did you ever see The Twilight Zone where they stopped at Willoughby?
Yeah.
Willoughby is the imaginary town back in the 1890s or something. Well, they stopped at this place called Hillside, and it's not a real station. I mean, there's no town called Hillside. There's no real station called Hillside. You're not allowed to get off. It's for employees only. They say Hillside, employees only, you know, but sometimes they just say Hillside, and people just look up and say, where? Where am I? And, you know, you nod and say, go back to sleep, and don't try getting off. Because, bad things happen if you get off.
I wonder what would happen.
Yeah. I'm going to look up in the phone book and see if there's a Hillside Undertakers, just like there was a Willoughby Undertakers in the Twilight Zone. I don't know. Well, thanks for stopping in, Bill, and we'll look forward to your show coming up in an hour and 8 minutes.
Thanks a lot. It's been a pleasure to be on Brain Damage.
Okay.
Or Habit or whatever.
Yes. The countdown continues. 1 hour and 8 minutes till the brothers here on 90.1 WUSB. And our telephone number is 632-6901. Call us up if you want to talk about the winter weather or racial strife or virtually anything else. There's all kinds of things going on in this land of ours, in this immediate area. It's a very exciting place. Very exciting times. The 1980s, the late 1980s, 1988, the 80s equivalent of 1968. And think how exciting that was. Well, in 1968, the White Album came out. Okay, the White Album came out in 1968. Something like that could happen now. 1968, there were all kinds of riots and protest marches, and there was even, I believe, a war in some foreign country, Vietnam or something like that. So 1988 has the potential to be a very exciting year. And it even looks nice. You know, you write 88, they look the same, you know. So think about all that. And maybe you'd like to call us and give us your predictions for 1988, what's going to happen. On this program, Brain Damage, in 2 weeks, we will have Joe Evangelista up. Crazy man Joe Evangelista, who will be talking and doing all kinds of strange things, and he'll be one of our semi-regular guests here at the radio station. And right now, though, this week, this program is for the listeners to call in and express their opinions and their feelings. 632-6901. Got a couple more articles here, which I'd like to get into. Fairly controversial ones, but in fact, they're so controversial, I'd like to do them after our slight break. I'll go into a less controversial article to start with then, and that is, of course, the one on Oral Roberts. Yes, Mr. Roberts will be cutting back his TV outlets. This is from today's New York Times. The evangelist Oral Roberts has decided to remove ministry programs from scores of television stations across the country, and that's because of sagging donations and a decision by many stations to drop religious programming. Do we have any religious programming here? I don't know if we do.
Morningstar.
That's right, we have Morningstar. But that's... if they could only put Morningstar on instead of Oral Roberts.
I mean... beg for donations.
We don't beg for donations,
right.
Do we?
No.
Yeah. Oh. Well, let's get to this call, then we'll continue with Oral Roberts. And good evening to you. You are on Brain Damage.
Hello. My name's Ron Woolley, and I work for an organization, and we're working to collect food for the hungry on Long Island.
Uh-huh.
And I'd like to have some listeners write to my address if they're willing to help out.
Oh, what is the name of your organization?
Right now we're working under the name of Hunger Task Force, but we plan on breaking off from there.
Okay, and what is it that that you specifically want to do?
I'd like people to, right now what we're doing is going from house to house asking for cans from people, which are given to my friend and taken to Brooklyn. And if people are interested in doing that or in helping out in any way, in transporting food or whatever, they can write to my address.
Now, these are cans of food and anything else that you're asking for?
Yeah, anything else that people are willing to give us.
I see. And where will they be distributed in Brooklyn?
In Brooklyn, there's a friend of mine knows a brother from his school, and I'm not sure where it's distributed out of. Right now, I'm just, like, in the position to collect the food.
I see. Okay, well, you might as well give us your address, and if listeners are interested in sending cans of food or any other items for charity, they can do so.
Or if they're willing to help out, like, and collect food themselves.
Well, sounds like a worthy cause, especially this cold time of year.
Right. Okay, the address is 11 Washington Court.
11 Washington Court.
Right, in Smithtown.
Smithtown, New York.
Right, and the area code is 11787.
11787.
Yep.
Okay, well, I wish you luck on your campaign to feed the hungry and poor.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yes, that's good to be giving food away. And a lot of people, myself included, admittedly, just go through the days not thinking as much as we really should about all of those people that need things, especially this time of year. Well, really, that's kind of a strange statement. Any time of year, you notice it more because it's cold. But there are people that go hungry year-round, 365 days a year. And it really doesn't take much. In fact, if everyone gave 5% of their income, I don't think there'd be any problems. That's what someone said once. We'll probably never find out if it's true, obviously, but it's something to think about. Anyway, getting back to our favorite religious fanatics, Oral Roberts in particular. According to Richard Roberts, who is president of the Oral Roberts Evangelist Association, and perhaps someone could tell me if he's related to Oral Roberts at all. It doesn't say here if he is or not. According to him, Mr. Roberts is negotiating with cable television markets to purchase or increase programming. We've cut back some, but in reality, our goal is a reapportioning of our airtime purchasing through America, he added. Okay, if you understood that, contributions to Oral Roberts' ministry continue to be about $3 million a month, a ministry spokeswoman, Jan Dargatz, said Thursday. The cost of buying time for broadcasting Expect a Miracle, which is Mr. Roberts' half-hour Sunday program, and Richard Roberts Live, a one-hour program 5 days a week, amounts to about half of the ministry's annual budget of more than $30 million. Now, of course, this money that accounts for the $30 million, where do you think that comes from? They don't get $30 million from the government. They don't get $30 million from God. They get $30 million from me and you, people who send it to them. People who send it to them because they want to send it to them. But why do they want to send it to them? They want to send it to them to look good in God's eyes. They want to send it to them because they agree with what the person on the TV is saying, which is fine. They want to send it because they think they'll get something out of it, or they'll impress their neighbors or something like that. $30 million, and that's really nothing. That's really nothing when you consider how much money is sent to religious groups like this, how many religious groups there are. The PTL Club, Oral Roberts, Jimmy Swaggart, and of course, Jerry Falwell. So if you're upset about all this religious fanaticism and the waste that may or may not be occurring, it's really a matter of personal opinion. Think about giving that money to something a little bit more worthwhile, like hungry people, or non-commercial radio, or non-commercial television, or anything that thinks and that allows you to be a part of the discussion. You won't find that on these religious broadcasters, that's for sure. $30 million. Anyway, the ministry has made agreements with several of the stations from which the programs are to be dropped to allow rescheduling if the ministry can afford it later, Richard Roberts said. Oral Roberts, who turns 70 this month, that is, unless he makes another kind of deal with God, caused a sensation a year ago with his plea to followers to contribute $8 million for a medical missionary scholarship program at Oral Roberts University. He said if the money was not raised by the end of March 1987, God would call me home. He announced April 1st that the money had been raised. And then he went home. And about the same time, controversy erupted over Jim and Tammy Baker's PTL television ministry, following Mr. Baker's admission of a sexual encounter with a church secretary, that being Long Island's own Jessica Hahn. Our income dropped off in May, and it stayed there, Ms. Dargatz said. That's when the Jim and Tammy thing heated up. There is a correlation there. Contributions improved in November and December, but donations continue to be lower than they were earlier last year. We're coming back, she said. We're rebounding. We're doing the same kind of things that every other business does. We're not floundering. We're doing some good, solid business things. But there's one thing they're not doing that every other business does, and that's pay taxes. That's right. When you're a religious group, you don't have to pay taxes. Isn't that lovely? Oral Roberts' program is carried by the Christian Broadcasting Network and the PTL Network. While Richard Roberts' show is on PTL, the Trinity Broadcasting Network, and Black Entertainment Television, she said. Beginning in December, the Expect a Miracle program was canceled on 71 stations, but continues to be seen on more than 150. Richard Roberts' program was canceled on 54 stations and continues to be seen on 60 individual stations, and that's not including cable television. 632-6901, that's our telephone number. And very good evening. You are on Brain Damage.
Good evening, Eric.
Mike?
Yes.
Mike Uhas from Philadelphia. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. I'm just calling to say you're tuned to WUSB Stony Brook.
Well, I'm very glad you called up on the hour to give that legal ID. And perhaps this is a good time to explain to people that legal IDs are what we call a station identification. And there's only one way to say them. And Mike, would you care to say that again?
Once again, for the folks at home and anybody else who might be listening, WUSB Stony Brook.
Now, you notice Mike said WUSB Stony Brook. He did not say WUSB 90.1 FM in Stony Brook, because that is not, by FCC standards, considered a legal identification.
In fact, they may even go as far as calling it an illegal ID.
Well, there's no such thing as an illegal ID, but it would be called something like an image ID or a buffer ID. They have different words for it in different stations. But if you have to say the full call letters, WUSB. You cannot just say USB Stony Brook. You have to say WUSB. You can't say WUSB FM Stony Brook. You have to just say WUSB Stony Brook. And you can follow that with anything you want. You can precede it with anything you want. But that phrase has to come in there somewhere.
It has to be buried in there someplace.
And, of course, another thing that a lot of people don't realize that we have to do, we have to also broadcast a little caption over the airwaves that has legal ID. On TV, you can see the caption, obviously, but on radio, you can't. But that doesn't mean it's not there.
Yep.
We have to broadcast that caption.
There you go.
Yeah. In fact, right now, a little caption is going over the air with your name on it.
Uh-oh, I've got another call coming.
Mike has call waiting. You're going to put the whole listening audience on hold, okay?
Right back.
Okay, Mike will be right back. Call waiting, that's an annoying little thing, isn't it? We can see how annoying it is. I hope that person who called him is happy. Doesn't know that he's put all these people out, make us have to talk about nothing. I just hope they're satisfied. Well, anyway, it's 4 minutes after 11 o'clock and minus 1 degree Celsius. And all kinds of strange sounds going on over the airwaves. And we, of course, will be taking a break in a moment. If Mike ever comes back. He's not back yet. Call waiting. I hate call waiting. If our guests last week had call waiting, though, it would have prevented quite an annoying situation where he was busy for an hour or so. Yes. Mike, are you there? Hello, Mike. No, he's not. Very embarrassing here. I don't know what to do right now, because...
Hello.
Ah, there you are. Well, Mike, you really put us out that time.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was my wife calling from downtown Philadelphia.
Ah, well, you can tell her that she was on the air, sort of. That 30 or 40 seconds of silence was her.
She was looking for a ride home.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, did you tell her how to find one?
Yes, I told her where to go. I told her which train to take.
Ah, that's very nice of you. And you did that free of charge, I imagine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
So what's going on? How's the weather down there in Philadelphia?
Well, it's bitter right now. I think the temperature is hovering about 19 degrees Fahrenheit, and you can figure that out on the Celsius scale.
19 Fahrenheit, did you say?
About 19.
That's 66. No, wait a minute. That's the wrong scale. 19 Celsius is 66 Fahrenheit, so 19 Fahrenheit would be... Minus 7 Celsius. We have...
Sounds about right. That's what it is.
Minus 1 Celsius, which is 30 Fahrenheit. I'm not quite sure if that's correct, but that's what it says.
Yeah.
What do you think of cold weather? We're kind of taking a poll here, and right now I believe we have Well, including my vote, two votes for, two votes against cold weather. Not that there's a damn thing we can do about it, but...
What do I think about what?
Cold weather? Cold weather. I mean, do you like cold weather, or do you just hate it and wish it was warm all the time?
Well, I wish it was warm, but not all the time.
Yeah.
I like a change of season, you know.
Well, you're not one of these people, then, that would shuffle off to Florida.
Well, I would probably do that if I had the wherewithal to do that.
Uh-huh.
But I don't have the wherewithal, so I won't go.
Uh-huh. I won't even go to Florida on a vacation, you know, because... you know where I went last year. I was telling the folks about this.
I went to Baffin Island last year,
and I went, you know, during the winter, too. It was March. Actually, no, it was April. But that's not where people go. That's not where a lot of people go, anyway. Most people go to Florida, and they just want to sun themselves and be warm. But there's so much more. When you think that there's a group of people up there right now where it's really cold all the time and perhaps light for maybe 3 hours a day, it just makes you think that human beings are a lot stronger than we give them credit for, and a lot more worthy of life. You know, we can go to hostile environments and turn them into friendly environments, because they don't just huddle outside in igloos or something for all their lives. They go inside and they have fun, and they watch videotapes and listen to CDs just like we do, but they just have a completely different environment and they like it.
But now, when you were up there when, in about April or so?
It was mid-April, yes.
What time did the sun rise and set up there?
Now, that was interesting. The sun rose, because I woke up one morning and I couldn't believe what time it was. It was about 3:30 and the sun was up and it was nice and bright.
Yeah, and then it went down about 11 o'clock at night or so?
Well, it went down probably closer to around 9, but it stayed light until around 11.
Uh-huh.
And this was in April.
If you'd been there, of course, in June, boy, you wouldn't have gotten any darkness at all.
No, it stays light all the time. But, of course, in December, it's about 1 hour of light a day.
Yeah.
They're not above the Arctic Circle, but they're fairly close.
Very, very close. Well, now, let's see. Where are you in relation to Reykjavik? Yeah, that would have to be up above the Arctic Circle, no?
I believe it is, but I can't be certain entirely.
I'd have to go get my atlas out. We'll have the answers to this next week, I guess.
Okay. Well, Mike will pull out his atlas and find out where Reykjavik is.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's... So
are you going to ask me how much snow we got?
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. How much snow did you get in Philadelphia?
A couple few inches, you know.
We just got a call from Ridgefield, Connecticut.
Oh.
Yeah, and how far is that, by the way?
I'm not sure.
You would probably know more than anyone.
Who, me?
Yeah.
No.
No? Well,
I'm not a Long Island native anymore. What can I say?
We also got a call from someone who claimed to be in Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
But we've had some official expressions of doubt on that.
I wouldn't even think they'd be able to pick us up in Lynbrook.
Yeah, much less Brooklyn. Well, how much snow did you get?
We did get a few inches, I said.
How many few inches?
Oh, well, it depends on where you were.
Well, let's say if you were in Philadelphia.
Probably 3 to 4.
That's all?
Yeah, because you'd see like a field of grass or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And you'd still see grass, and that would only be a couple inches tall. But then again, on top of your car, well, it looked like it could have been about 4 inches, so.
Well, you know, I parked at the train station, last night, and when I got home, got to the train station anyway, I had to kind of dig out a path behind my car because there was probably about 8 to 10 inches of snow just sitting behind my car. And there's no way I could have gone through the snow and gotten to the road without winding up in a catastrophe.
Well, now that 8 to 10 inches, that was from a snowplow that had gone by.
Well, most likely it was, but I mean, you know, why quibble with a snowplow? That's what I always say.
Yeah.
So what I did was, I didn't have a snow shovel, so I had to use my shoes. They were on my feet, of course, and I just sort of shuffled back and forth.
You weren't wearing snow shoes, right?
I was wearing boots.
Either that or rubbers.
Combat boots. Yes. So I got through it okay.
Well, that's good.
And most of Long Island seems to have survived, so...
The car of yours is pretty dang reliable, if you ask me.
Yeah, well, it puts up with a lot, but it gets through.
Yeah.
So, all right, Mike, I want to thank you for calling. We're just about to take our little break here, you know. I go running down the hall to the bathroom, and which, by the way, the men's room is open this week. Isn't that nice?
Oh, that's good.
In fact, all the things we were complaining about last week, the temperature in this room, Frank Burgert somehow managed to fix the temperature, and it's now a jubilant 70 degrees in here as opposed to the 98 it was last week.
That's jubilant. jubilant.
I'm jubilant, that's for sure. The men's room is open. I don't have to go to the women's room down the hall. And what else were we complaining about? There was something else.
Oh, many things, many of things.
Yeah.
Headphones.
Headphones. Oh, they're still kind of weird, but that's all right.
Yeah. Are you doing the show solo tonight?
I'm doing the show. Well, no, I have lots of listeners who are calling in and giving their opinions on various things. Things from Howard Beach to Oral Roberts to the winter weather, and we'll have more coming up this hour.
That sounds good. I am only wished I could be there to hear it.
Well, I'm sure we'll be hearing your smiling voice here in the studio, not too far in the future. I know Joe Evangelista will be up here in a couple of weeks.
Oh, that'll be good.
Yeah, so we have all kinds of media superstars coming into the station here.
Yeah.
So, once again, I want to thank you for calling.
Well, you're quite welcome.
And I will talk to you again sometime.
Certainly will.
All right, now, why don't you hang up and give us all those long-distance sounds that the phone companies make when they hang up.
Well, there are probably not going to be all that many of them.
Yeah, we'll try to use our imagination then.
Here we go then. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Well, that certainly was a disappointment. Used to hear all kinds of relays clicking and little noises, but not anymore. It's 12 minutes after 11 o'clock. Our phone number is 632-6901. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back talking about all kinds of things here on Brain Damage. Here on WUSB, Stony Brook.
May I help you?
Yeah, I'm having trouble dialing.
Sorry, what number thing?
Well, it's in Florida, which is area code 305.
And the number?
The number is 21 is the exchange, and the last four digits are 9824.
21 is not enough. You have to have three numbers.
No, it's two. It's I have it written down.
Okay.
305.
Right.
21. 9824.
No, you don't have enough numbers, sir. It's supposed to be with the area code plus a seven-digit number. You don't have seven numbers.
Hold on. Let me check. Oh, I'm so sorry. It's area code 305-021.
No, it can't be 021 either. Nothing. It can't start with a zero.
Do you think maybe your supervisor could help me?
No, there would be no way a supervisor could help you because what you're giving me is you're not giving me the right number. So you've got the area code. It's right.
Which okay.
Is 05, right?
Right.
Okay. Now you need a seven-digit number.
It's 021.
No, it can't start with a zero. You know what I'm saying? The number that you're calling cannot start.
Well, I dialed zero to get you.
Yeah, but that's to get the operator. But if you're going to call a number, you can't start it off with a zero. Repeat the numbers you have again. You have 21.
Right.
And then what?
9825.
Okay, you're missing a number.
No, I'll tell you exactly what it says. Well, I'm calling Larry, of course. It says, Larry, Florida. 305 is the area code in parentheses.
Uh-huh.
And then it says, 021-9825.
No, there's no way. Do you have the name and the address of this party?
No.
No.
I know it's Larry in Florida. Well, if I were to call directory assistance, do you think they could get me Larry in Florida's number?
Not if you have to have Larry's last number.
The last number is 59825.
No, you have to have his last name.
Can you try to call 021?
But that's what I'm trying to explain to you. There is no way that you can start a number off with zero.
But he works at the post office, though.
Okay.
It's the government.
Hold on a second. Let me give you my cigar.
Oh, okay. Hello? I can't hang up. Hello?
Yeah, hold on just a second.
I got a busy signal.
All right, hold on a minute.
It rang twice, and then it gave me a busy signal. because it rang. Hello?
Good evening, AT&T. May I help you?
Is this the supervisor?
Yes.
Oh, that's good, because when she tried to connect me to the supervisor before, it rang twice, and then it clicked, and then gave me a fast, busy signal, and I couldn't even hang up.
What's the problem?
Well, I'm trying to reach my friend in Florida, and I have the number here, and he gave me the number and told me to call him, and I know it's the right number, and the operator was telling me that it's not the right number, but I know it is, because Larry wouldn't lie about his number.
What is the number?
Oh, it's, well, Florida is area code 305, it says in parentheses, and then the number is 021-9825.
021-9825?
Yeah, and she says there are no numbers with O's in them, and then my number, the last two digits of my number are O's. So,
I know that, sir, but not with the exchange number starting with zero. The only ones that have numbers like that, 1 and 0, would be in California, not in Florida.
In California, they have 1 and 0?
They have 1 and 0 as the first number of a central exchange number, yes, but not in Florida.
Maybe it's because, like, they're like hot in both places and terrace in, like, Disneyland or something. Do you think so? Because I think he lives near Disneyland or Disney World.
I'll have the operator try the number for you.
Yes. Oh, well, I know he works for the post office. And I know the post office sometimes has a funny number. The post office near me is a very funny number, and sometimes it's busy a lot.
Well, if it does go through, then I'll have the opportunity.
Oh, well, could I dial information myself? Oh, can you tell me how?
305.
555. Okay. Can I... 305512.
Back up a little bit.
Okay.
305.
555. How many fives?
3.
305512.
555-1212.
303-555-1212.
305-555.
How many fives?
3 5.
So 305-555-1212. 305-555-1212. Wait, 1212? To what? To my friend's... Well, no, I'd like to dial the information number myself.
Okay, sir. Give it a try.
Well, can you have her connect me to Larry first? I'm having trouble calling Larry.
I can't get the number, sir.
I know the number. 305-021-9825.
That's
the incorrect number. Are you saying that Larry lied to me?
I don't know, Larry.
Larry would never lie to anybody.
That's an incorrect number, sir.
Larry wouldn't tell me the incorrect number. Larry knows, he knows.
Do you want information to verify that?
Can you have the operator try Larry first? Hello?
Hello, sir.
Hello?
Yeah, hold on a second. We're going to try to get through.
I couldn't hang up. I thought you hung up, and then when I tried to hang up, it didn't get me a dial tone. And when I got my dial tone, I was going to call for telephone repair service 661, right?
Hold on now. We're going to try that number.
Okay. If there's a recording and his number was changed, can you leave it on so I can get the number it was changed to? In case it was changed.
Okay. Hold on just a second. Okay. Hold on a second, sir. I'm going to connect you with the operator right in Florida, okay?
Please don't connect me to information in Florida, ma'am. Uh-oh. That doesn't sound like the operator in Florida.
Two 6901.
Trunk ball restricts it.
Gunfire, dog fights, or what have you. It'll be a good time to kind of update ourselves on the news. 23 minutes after 11 o'clock, 90.1 FM, WUSB, and you're listening to Brain Damage. Give us a call, 632-6901, area code 516. Tell us what's on your mind tonight, as we are doing call-ins this week. Who knows what we'll be doing next week? But questions about the Iran-Contra affair showed up at every curve of the campaign trail for George Bush today. The day began with fellow Republican presidential contender Bob Dole calling on the vice president to make public his notes on the scandal. Bush said he'd be willing to do that and denied his widespread concern over how much he knew about the affair. Dole, the Senate minority leader, now says, "Let's just see what he releases." And that's a quote. A top Bush aide, according to a report, failed to tell Congress about a key meeting he had with a former CIA officer. The ex-officer, according to U.S. News and World Report, later became a key participant in the covert supply of arms to the Nicaraguan Contra rebels when aid to them was prohibited. The magazine quotes the Bush aide as saying, and his name is Donald Gregg, by the way, that he did not mention the meeting in congressional testimony because he didn't think of it. Sounds plausible to me. With Palestinian unrest persisting... Oh, thanks, guys. That was Sky that just came in here and did all that music for us. Very nice. With Palestinian unrest persisting, Israel is beefing up its forces. Israel Radio says more troops will be sent into the Gaza Strip following more clashes and the start of a general strike by the Palestinians. The latest violence includes the shooting death by Israeli troops of a Palestinian protester, picking off at least one a day now, it seems, the 27th to die in more than a month of disturbances. Actually, it seems they always get one a day. It's like, I don't know, is it a quarter or something? It's kind of weird. But we have a couple more things on that coming up in the next few minutes. So keep your fingers near the phones, and I'm sure there'll be people wanting to talk about this. Israel Radio also reports that the United Nations is about to begin a fact-finding mission in the occupied territories. It says the UN officials will meet tomorrow to start looking into the unrest. Defense Secretary Frank Carlucci is in the final hours of his tour of the war-torn Persian Gulf. As U.S. Navy warships escorted three more reflagged tankers across the Gulf, Carlucci today met with officials in Saudi Arabia. They discussed how to protect Gulf Arab states from threats posed by the Iran-Iraq war. I'd just like to go on the record here for a moment and say, why do we always call it the Iran-Iraq war? Why don't we ever call it the Iraq-Iran war? You know, I think that rolls off your tongue a little bit easier. Iran, Iraq, you got to sort of pause, but Iraq, Iran, you can sort of, the Q leads into the I, so it's like one word, Iraq, Iran war. And it sounds kind of romantic, too. I fought in the Iraq, Iran war, you know? I don't know, maybe it's just me. Anyway, about 1,000 people have taken to the streets of Panama City, celebrating the departure of Panama's military leader. But whether General Manuel Antonio Noriega, and I probably pronounced that wrong, and I'm sorry to the... fascist, whoever he is. Well, anyway, whether he has left for good is an open question. He arrived in the Dominican Republic today, saying he's only making a private visit. Published reports say the Reagan administration has been urging him to step down and allow free elections. The snowstorm that laid a blanket of white from Texas through New England has moved toward Nova Scotia, but the skies stayed overcast in parts of the south today, keeping the snow from melting. They searched in planes and helicopters and on foot with dogs in New Hampshire, looking for a small jet reported down in the snowstorm, but nothing has been found. And the searchers have concluded they may be the victims of an elaborate hoax. It started when a Mayday call was picked up last night. One Navy flyer talked by radio for more than 3 hours with the alleged pilot, who said he and two people were injured and a fourth was dead. It's a very funny hoax. Anyway, 27 minutes after 11 o'clock, and I've been following this whole Israeli-Palestinian issue with increasing interest, and I'd like to know what other people think about it, because it just seems to be at some kind of a turning point now. Let's go back to an article in yesterday's New York Times, January 8th, 1988. Israeli troops wounded at least 7 Palestinians today, that meaning January 7th. New York Times is always sort of one day behind. As violent demonstrations broke out again in the occupied Gaza Strip, and there were reports that a 15-year-old youth died of his injuries. Now, that was the one death from the day before. And like I said before, there seems to be one killing per day. It's very amazing. The violence occurred a day before a United Nations official was to arrive on a fact-finding mission in the occupied territories. Prime Minister Yitzhak Shamir declared he would not meet with the official, Marek Golding, an Undersecretary General, but Foreign Minister Shimon Peres will do so, a spokesman said. So far, Mr. Golding has not made a request to meet with Mr. Shamir, but whether there is a request or not, Mr. Shamir will not meet with him, the Prime Minister's spokesman, Avi Posner, said tonight. But he said, Israel would not try to prevent the visit. There is no way to prevent him, Mr. Posner said. It's a free country. Free for all. Yes, Mr. Peres will meet with Mr. Golding to explain Israel's objections to the Security Council resolution of December 22nd that condemned the Israeli army's handling of Palestinian unrest in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. The resolution, approved with the United States abstaining, authorized the United Nations to report on ways to protect Palestinian civilians, but Israel insists the unrest is an internal matter. The Security Council approved another resolution on Tuesday urging Israel to abandon plans to deport 9 Palestinians accused of inciting the unrest. The United States joined in the unanimous vote. And a rather interesting sidelight to all of this, two West Bank Palestinian community leaders on January 7th, which was Thursday, announced the start of a civil disobedience campaign against the Israeli occupation that will begin with a Palestinian boycott of Israeli-made cigarettes. Gandhi started with salt, we are starting with cigarettes, said Hana Siniora, editor of Al-Fajar, an East Jerusalem newspaper. There are two Palestinian-owned cigarette factories in the West Bank, one in Beit Jala and the other in Bethany. Most Palestinians, however, smoke Israeli-manufactured cigarettes. Mr. Siniora said that a group of Palestinian leaders planned to hold a news conference in Jerusalem today to announce the start of their campaign, but the Israeli military authorities served orders on several of those living outside Jerusalem, preventing them from coming to the capital for the day. As a result, Mr. Siniora and another Palestinian, Mubarak Awad, contacted reporters on their own and announced the campaign. I hope people will give up smoking, Mr. Awad said. But if they don't, there are Palestinian brands of cigarettes. The Palestinian leaders said they would desist from the campaign if Israel reversed its decision Sunday to deport the 9 Palestinians from the West Bank and Gaza, release the nearly 2,000 Palestinian youths arrested during the past month of disturbances, and abrogated legal provisions allowing for administrative detentions and expulsions. Now, I wonder if that qualifies them as terrorists. Campaigning against cigarettes. We'll soon see. Switching to today's New York Times, and this is a fascinating story here, entitled, Israel is jailing some Palestinians without a trial. Detentions of 6 months. Intent appears to be to avoid new deportation orders. And another Palestinian killed in Gaza. Violence continued in the occupied territories today, and that, of course, was yesterday, January 8th. A Palestinian was reported killed by army gunfire as clashes broke out in Gaza after prayer services on the Muslim Day of Public Prayer. Meanwhile, Israeli officials said that dozens of Palestinians had been jailed in the last few days under a procedure allowing them to be held without trial for up to 6 months. An army spokesman said 30 Palestinians in the Israeli-occupied West Bank had been jailed under the procedure known as administrative detention on Tuesday and Wednesday alone. Sounds like something in high school, administrative detention. He said the detentions were continuing in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, but that current figures were not available. Now, this is the interesting part. The cases announced yesterday were the first known instances of administrative detention stemming from the unrest in the occupied territories that began last month. The aim is apparently to find a less controversial means than deportation to remove from circulation suspected ringleaders of the unrest. Now, under administrative detention, the military occupation authorities can order someone jailed as a threat to security for up to 6 months without specific charges. The detention can be renewed indefinitely. Military officials do not have to produce evidence because under the procedures they can declare it a secret for security reasons. Let's read that one more time, in case it didn't sink in the first time. Under administrative detention, and just imagine this going on here. Under administrative detention, the military occupation authorities can order someone jailed as a threat to security for up to 6 months without specific charges, and the detention can be renewed indefinitely. In other words, they can jail you forever without specific charges. Military officials do not have to produce evidence because under the procedures they can declare it a secret for security reasons. What a perfect system. And let's just go back one day in the New York Times to the article we just read before. And it was the Prime Minister's spokesman, Avi Posner, who said, "It's a free country." What do you think of that? A free country where you can arrest people and put them away forever, and not even have to give a reason. It's a free country, all right. Anyway, administrative detention has been a major tool of the Israelis over the years in dealing with Palestinian unrest. Its use has fluctuated under successive governments and conditions, with dozens of people detained under the procedure in most years. Most of the arrests carried out in the last month were made under regulations requiring formal charges and judicial proceedings against the accused. Those who have been tried and convicted have received prison terms of 1 month to 1 year. Some of those put under administrative detention this week. Again, it is unclear how many, and I suppose another term is that they don't have to tell us how many, because that's a secret. It's unclear how many of those were already in custody. So, the whole Israeli-Palestinian issue gets worse by the day. And it's very troubling. Very troubling to those of us who support Israel, and of course troubling to those of us who don't support Israel, and in the long run, troubling to just about everyone. If you have feelings on this, give us a call, 632-6901, and we are going to go to the phones now, but of course first we have to go back to the magic land of delay. So without further ado, and here we are in delay land, where hopefully we were transported safely and effectively, which we were. It's 11:36. Our number, once again, 632-6901, area code 516. And good evening to you. You are on Brain Damage.
Hi, this is Doug again. I'm sorry for calling again and taking up the lines, but there's something which I feel I just have to talk about.
Go right ahead.
All right, you're reading out this news now.
Uh-huh.
You're reading out the news, and you're talking about all this Palestinian fighting. And there's nothing against you, because I know, you know, this is what you have to read, this is the news, you know. But you're reading about all this fighting and everything, you know, between Iraq and Iran and this and that. And we really don't have to, I mean, Yeah, it's your job to tell us about that, but why do they have to fight? That's what I want to know. That's what my question is. You know, why do people have to fight? Why can't, you know, the Beatles in the 60s were saying, give peace a chance. Why can't we just do that? Why can't we talk things out?
Well, because people can never agree on certain things. And let me just disagree with you on one thing. It was John Lennon who said, give peace a chance. The Beatles didn't. It was solo career when he did that. But that's very irrelevant.
I just mean in general, it didn't get much accomplished the 60s, but the idea was there, and, you know, now it seems like that the idea of peace is gone.
Well,
I mean,
let me ask you something, sir. The idea was there for peace, love, and understanding, all that kind of thing, but look at the 60s. The 60s was one of the most violent periods of our time. We had a horrible war going on. I mean, do you think we would have come up with all these peace slogans if there wasn't a war, if we weren't aware of the killing to start with?
Well, I know we had to be aware of the killing, you know, but, I mean, there were wars everywhere. There just shouldn't be. That's what I want to say.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, there's no reason to kill people over something, you know, over disagree of beliefs. We were talking about Howard Beach before, you know, racial things. I mean, who really cares what color you are or anything? It makes no difference. People got to understand that.
Well, you see, it makes no difference to people like us. But what do we do when it makes a difference to other people and those people start affecting our lives?
Yeah.
What do we do then?
Should it make a difference, though?
That's
what people got to understand. You know, people are the same.
Now, when you first called up just now, I had the feeling you were upset that we were reading these items. Now, do you think we should not read these items, just ignore them?
No, I think that people should know. What I was trying to say before, you know, wasn't, you know, I was saying that, you know, I know it's your job and, you know, people, I mean, we have to know what's going on. You know, we should know what's going on about, you know, the wars and stuff that are going on all over the world. But what I'm saying is it just shouldn't be. You know, I think, you know, I don't think my phone call is going to stop much, but I think that, you know, it should just, people should just talk things over. That, you know, that's the belief that I have, and that's the belief that I want to get across to other people.
Well, it's a question of stubborn people. And
tell me about it.
Let's take the instance of the Israelis and the Palestinians.
Yeah.
You have in the Middle East some of the most stubborn people in the world, and the Israelis are by no means immune to this.
Yeah.
And it's really sad because obviously the Palestinians do have rights of some sort. It's not quite clear how they should be dealt with.
Exactly. Everybody has rights.
Yeah.
And I feel, you know, that we all should be created equally. And we all should be treated equally.
Right.
And, you know, that's just how it is. And if, you know, the people in Israel, the people in Palestine, you know, they're not going to think that way. You know, it's just too bad.
Do you think things are better now than they were, say, 20 years ago?
I really don't know. You know, it was pretty bad then and pretty bad now. I mean, it was a lot more violent. I mean, there were, you know, wild protests and stuff. Now, the protests now are wild, but not nearly as wild as they were back in 67. But, you know, all this with Howard Beach and, you know, the people chanting Howard Beach, it's just, like, morbid, you know.
Well, unfortunately, it takes horrible events to get reactions from people. And the 70s and pretty much the 80s have been rather placid for us anyway.
Yeah.
When bad things start happening, when we see people dying again in the streets or being sent off to war, then you'll see a resurgence of all the demonstrations and all the new thinking. But it's so hard to get that out of people when there's nothing to really motivate them, when they think they can just get on with their lives and sure, there's people suffering around me, but there's no chance of me or anyone that I know of really suffering like that, so why bother? There's really nothing I can do.
Yeah, I agree with you, you know.
All right, well, thank you very much for calling.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Take care.
Bye.
632-6901 is our telephone number. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage. Well, that's it for that person. 632-6901, area code 516, talking about the conflicts of this human race of ours and how it never seems to end. Oh, no. If anyone there has an answer, please give us a call. If anyone there wants to talk about something more cheerful, that's perfectly okay, too. Or any kinds of other strange things going on. Jordan is another country over there. They're watching the events in the Israeli-occupied West Bank to see if they might lead to a reopening of Middle East peace talks, but they're wary of a possible resurgence of the Palestine Liberation Organization's influence. The stone-throwing demonstrations, in which at least 24, I might as well push that up to about 27 or 28 Palestinians, have been shot to death by the Israeli army, have been the major topic for nearly a month in Jordan, where more than half the citizens consider themselves Palestinians, largely refugees from the 1948 and 1967 Arab-Israeli wars. Now, keep in mind that Jordan is not accepting any of those Palestinians that are supposedly being deported from the West Bank. So, all kinds of conflicts here. I don't detect anything but sympathy for the Palestinian demonstrations from any Jordanian, no matter what his background or walk of life, said a Western diplomat. There's a righteous anger coupled with a hope that this is the birth of a real resistance. But despite several official expressions of support for the Palestinians in the occupied territory, King Hussein and his government are concerned that the Palestine Liberation Organization, with whom the king angrily broke off a joint peace effort nearly 2 years ago, will use the events to try to reclaim its waning influence. Frankly, the people of the West Bank and Gaza have reached the point of total frustration, said a top palace advisor to the king. And then he went on, his voice dripping sarcasm as he mocked the way the PLO usually refers to itself. The frustration of depending on their sole legitimate representative, which has brought them nothing during the last two decades. 2 months ago, King Hussein was the host of an Arab summit meeting here, and that is in Amman in Jordan, that focused on the threat posed by Iran in the long-running Persian Gulf War, and virtually snubbed Yasser Arafat and the Palestinian cause, which had long been the staple of Arab rhetoric. And as I said, Jordan, along with Egypt, has said it would not accept any Palestinians expelled from Israel. But the advisor to King Hussein said that the king had ordered financial support sent to the families of the Palestinians killed in the demonstrations. And that article comes to us from the New York Times. That's yesterday's New York Times. And so it goes. War stories. Well, as long as we're over in that part of the world, something maybe a little bit more, I don't want to say cheerful, but kind of funny, I guess. From the Daily News, electronic bug sickens Israeli computer system. A saboteur has infected Hebrew University computers with an electronic virus that threatens to destroy thousands of files and wipe out years of research, a university employee said yesterday. It is the most devastating thing we've ever come across. And that came from Yisrael Radai, a senior programmer at the university's computer center. A virus is computer jargon for a self-propagating set of orders devised by a saboteur that spreads from one computer disk to another to cause mischief or harm. Radai said that soon after the virus was discovered last week, university computer experts developed an antidote to diagnose and treat it. But there still is a danger that many users will not learn they have been affected until it is too late. Computer viruses. We're not kidding, folks. Computer viruses. AIDS of the computer world, I guess you'd call it. The virus threatened to wipe out research data, financial statements, ledgers, lists of students, and other vital information compiled by administrators, teachers, and students. The virus was devised and introduced several months ago by, quote, an evidently mentally ill person who wanted to wield power over others and didn't care how he did it, unquote, Radai said. In other words, sounds like a perfectly normal human being for that part of the world. He said the saboteur had to be very clever because he knew how to write directly into the disk controller and evade the computer's ordinary safeguards. The computer infected all disk files exposed to it, and they in turn contaminated healthy computers and disks. It's kind of hard to go on after reading those words. Red Eye said the saboteur's target date to wipe out the files was Friday, May 13th, 1988. This is incredible. Unless computer users apply the antidote developed by the university, they will lose disks afflicted with the virus on that day. Shai Bushinsky, a self-employed computer expert familiar with the virus, said it was a new and dangerous development that could penetrate military, industrial, and commercial data systems. It might do to computers what AIDS has done to sex, said Bushinsky. What can we say? What can we possibly add to that? Computers. Computers are infected by diseases. This world is going nuts. Completely crazy. Computer bugs. Literal computer bugs. Well, my advice to those of you who have computers, because this can happen to you. Not just the Israeli government or the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. It can happen to individual computer users because you do buy programs occasionally or you download programs over the phone lines, and occasionally someone plants something in one of those programs and it gets loose. It gets into your computer system and it destroys things left and right. Your entire system becomes completely useless. So what can you do? Well, there's not much, actually, because these programs are hidden in strange places where you can't find them, unless you develop a program that will look for a certain type of virus, but then there's a kind of virus that it won't be looking for that could always slip in. The best thing to do is simply to have backups. All the time have backups of whatever you do that is done on a computer. If you're typing a thesis, if you're typing a book, your life's memoirs always have a printed copy of it, because there is nothing in the world more frustrating than typing something into a computer and having it go away, having it be wiped out, either by a power failure or a surge or a virus. Nothing compares to that feeling of loss. Well, I suppose having your house burned down with all of your manuscripts inside it or something, that could probably do it, although you might be able to salvage a few pieces of it. But in this world of the 80s, where we have computers doing everything for us, we're asking for trouble. We're just asking for it if we don't have any kind of backups, and if we just blindly go allowing computers to run our whole lives for us. That's my little piece on that. And we have about 5 minutes left. If anyone wants to call up, looks like I scared away a few people with all this talk of computer viruses. Give us a call, 632-6901, if you have any final thoughts. Area code 516. This is Brain Damage. We're on every Saturday night from 10 to 12. And, of course, in 2 weeks, we'll be having Joe Evangelista on this program, and that's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to that. And next week, all kinds of funny things are probably going to happen. But we'll get to that next week. It's 11:51 now. And what have we here? Do we have a weather forecast? I don't see a weather forecast anywhere around here. Well, it's cold outside and it's going to... Here it is. No, that's the news. I'm sorry. It's cold outside. It's going to stay cold and it'll warm up a little bit tomorrow. And it's not going to snow anymore. Currently -2 degrees Celsius. That's 28 on the Fahrenheit scale. And we have no calls. Incredible. Absolutely amazing. Well, we have 4 minutes left to take calls. And I really want to save this story for next week. So I would appreciate it if someone would call. Because if I waste this story this week, I won't have it to read next week. And I'll have to find something else. And it just won't be any fun at all. Now, don't make me call you, because I can do that. I can make calls and I can call all of our listeners because we have them all written down on a card. All right, we know your phone numbers. We know where you are. And, you know, you might not want to be called now. You might be sleeping or something. Or you just might not want to be called. So call us, 632-6901, area code 516. No one's calling, Bill. What's going on here?
They will.
Well, would you appeal to them? I mean, I know you can get people to call.
Well, if all you do is dial 632-6901, and you, ladies and gentlemen, just think all the thoughts that lie between your ears and behind your eyes can be broadcast on radio, of course, within the limits of the FCC. You know, just give us your message to the world, or at least to Suffolk County, Greater Suffolk County in Southern Connecticut, maybe perhaps some wisdom for 1988. 632-6901 is the phone number here.
You got the phones ringing. I don't believe
this
guy.
And let's do it now. Just remember, like, there are perhaps potentially, I think Eric said it last week, potentially millions of people.
Potentially millions.
Listening to you, listening to your ideas.
You're lighting up the switchboard like a menorah here.
What's going
It's incredible.
The things that are going on inside your mind can be broadcast on radio. Just think of the power of that situation and, that's enough from me, I guess.
Well, I guess you call that the hard sell, huh?
I've done it before.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you very much, Bill, for stopping in.
You're welcome. But I'm going to be here for a while.
We're out of time, though. We can't take it. No, I'm only kidding. We do have a few more minutes here, so let's go to a couple of these calls. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hello.
Hi.
What's going on now?
What's going on now? You tell me.
Yeah, what's going on?
We're having a call-in radio program, and you called in. You're on the radio.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So, like, all right. I just got, you know, hooked up to the radio. I'm like, what's going on?
What are we talking about?
Yeah.
Well, we're not really talking. Well, we were talking about the winter weather. We were talking about how it's cold now and how some people don't like that. We were talking about Howard Beach and how that's kind of nasty. And,
oh, that's pretty nasty.
And Palestinians being shot by Israelis, how that's kind of nasty. And computer viruses and mostly nasty things, I guess, tonight.
Yeah.
I guess that's kind of the theme, nastiness.
So everybody's just getting around with it.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Where are you calling from?
Huh?
Where are you calling from?
Patchogue.
Well, that's the first call from the South Shore we had. Did you get much snow down there?
Yeah, we got like 8 inches.
Uh-huh.
It was all right, I guess. They finally do something with the Democrat guys doing something for us.
Yeah, he brought the snow in, didn't he?
Yeah, he's getting our streets plowed, that's one thing.
Well, first he brings the snow in, then he plows the streets. gotta give Pat Halpin credit for that.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks very much for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. We have a lot of calls now, and good evening to you. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi, Eric. My name is Peter, and I'm calling again. I talked to you earlier about...
Peter, you called before. Yes, okay, well...
Well, you know, we were just discussing this topic, and it's like a heated debate that we're having. Not really a debate, we're just discussing censorship.
You got to say it to discuss it.
Censorship.
I can't say it.
And, that's all.
Well,
we had this debate, and we're like very against it, you know.
We're also drinking a lot.
we're drinking a lot, but that's not the point.
How many of you are there?
I'm sorry?
How many of you are there?
About 4 of us sitting around a fire, and we're listening to your show, and you're doing an excellent job, I might add.
Well, thank you.
Your show is very good, and I think you should continue on with it.
Well, you know, it's funny. I almost have a bingo with these phone calls now. We only have one more line to go, and we have a complete bingo on the phones.
Oh, wow.
Now, I had Brother Bill come in here and give a pitch for phone calls. And I couldn't do it. You know, it kind of bothers me that he can walk in here.
I mean, it had nothing to do with that. We were just discussing this, and then you just said you made that appeal, and we heard it. So it just...
You know, there's only one more light to go. That means if one more person calls, there's going to be a bingo. All those lights will be lit because of Brother Bill.
Oh. Well.
And I was sitting here virtually begging for calls, and not one of the lights was lighted.
Well, I don't think people realize that you were begging for calls, you know.
Well, I don't know what I have to do to get that across, but...
Well,
this is something.
Know,
well,
I guess Brother Bill just reaffirms that situation.
It certainly does. Well, let's try to go through these calls as quickly as possible. Well, not as quick. Well, we are running out of time, so let's see what these people have to say. Thanks for calling, Pete.
Okay. Bye.
Bye bye. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage. Hello. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yes. Well, I think it is Brother Bill. He's doing great.
He's doing amazing, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, he's going to be on in 4 minutes.
See?
Until, I believe, 2:30, 3 o'clock, something like that.
Yeah, he's got... But the only problem is that you guys need to get some reggae on there.
Reggae music?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we have reggae music every Saturday afternoon. You realize that, don't you?
Yeah, but I think that you should, like, extend it.
Yeah, well, we play extended mixes of all kinds of things, but Brother Bill will play reggae, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
Okay.
You guys are doing a great job.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Oh.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
We're talking about Nancy things?
Yeah.
Okay. I would like to say something.
You'd like to say something nasty?
Huh?
What do you want to say?
I'm a little annoyed.
About what?
You know, the girl in Huntington.
The girl in Huntington? Well, I know lots of girls in Huntington, but which one are you referring to?
That was murdered.
Oh, okay, yes.
I think the guy should, you know, admit, you know, who did it. You know, I think he should come forward, you know, and say, I did it, whoever he is.
Considering, and we were talking about this last week, that he is still out there at large, and, I mean, he could even be listening.
Yeah,
he is out there in our neighborhood. And, yes, I mean, how can somebody live with themselves after doing something like that and just walk around? I mean, are these people carrying on with their daily business, going to work and going to the grocery store, knowing that they murdered someone and that everyone's looking for this person? I just don't understand it. You know, it's, I don't know how anyone can live that kind of a life.
I think he should just admitted that he did it and come forward. You know, that's all.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that that happens. Although the police say they don't have any suspects, which sounds kind of strange, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Usually there's some suspects in a murder case, especially one like that.
Uh huh.
But again, thanks. Are you calling from Huntington?
No, Smithtown.
Smithtown. Well, that's closer to there than this is, and it's as we said last week, strange to see streets and areas that you're familiar with showing up on Channel 11 News.
Yeah.
As a murder site. Well, thanks for calling, sir.
Okay.
Bye-bye now. And that is it for us tonight on Brain Damage. Our thanks to all of you who called up. Our thanks to all the people who supplied us with articles to read. And if you have anything to supply to us, our address is Brain Damage, care of WUSB. That's at the State University of New York at Stony Brook. Stony Brook, New York, 11794. And let's just get out of delay here because it sort of does something to my head. Yeah, it sure does. Much, much better. out of delay and back into the into real time. And it's 12 o'clock, or actually 11:59, but coming up on 12 o'clock, and Brother Bill is at the door. And we'll be back again next week with another edition of this radio program here on WUSB Stony Brook. Again, our thanks to everyone who participated tonight. I'm Eric Corley. See you next week.
Thank you. days away, to mansions cold and grey, to the far side of town, where the thin men stalk the streets while the signs stay underground. Day after day, they tell me I can go, they tell me I can blow, to the far side of town.